May I have your attention, please? May I have your attention, please? Will the real Weird Sisters please stand up? We're gonna have a problem here.
We're the Weird Sisters, we're the real Weird Sisters. All you other Weird Sisters are fine, but not the Victors. Will the real Weird Sisters please stand up? Please stand up. Please stand up.
Hi, and welcome to the Real Weird Sisters. I'm Alice.
And I'm Martha.
And today we're here to talk about Frog and Toad by Arnold Lobel. Martha, the Frog and Toad expert.
The time has finally come. I think when we started the podcast 7 years ago, about 7 years ago this month, actually. Well, 7 years ago, we had the idea for the podcast. Who knew 7 years ago that we'd be here today talking about one of my favorite childhood books, Frog and Toad by Arnold Lobel? And who could have predicted that as I was talking about Frog and Toad by Arnold Lobel, I would not only be talking with my sister, my best friend, about it, I would also have a little tattoo on my arm of Frog and Toad.
Yes. So for everybody who doesn't know, Martha has one tattoo as far as I know.
I have one tattoo as far as you know. True.
And it is of Frog and Toad. So this has been kind of a moment that now has been, you know, this is going to be a pretty epic podcast. Let's put it that way.
Let's not get too ahead of ourselves. I don't want to set ourselves up to make this podcast. I don't want everybody's hopes to be too high. But I do have a Frog and Toad tattoo. It is my one tattoo, as far as Alice knows. And it is on my left arm. I had the idea for it about 3 years before I finally got it. For a long time, I had the idea kind of cooking in my head. I only shared it with a few people.
Yeah, including not me.
When I finally told Alice, she was super supportive and immediately told me, go ahead and get it.
I was pretty supportive.
Yeah, to my face, I guess. And yeah. Anyway, I have a Frog and Toad tattoo because it's one of my favorite books that I read as a child. I know Alice loved it as well. And to me, the themes of Frog and Toad are very, very important to my life. And I feel like they kind of have been a recurring theme in many ways, like the idea of what Frog and Toad represents and the ideas that are put forward in this epic children's book.
Yeah, so... just so before we get too far into this, I do want to mention which books we're going to be covering. We're actually going to be talking about all of the Frog and Toad books. There's actually only four, and I was a little bit surprised by that. How about you, Martha?
Yeah, I didn't realize that these were the only four. I guess it gets kind of confusing because they were published like a bunch of different ways. Like there was the Frog and Toad Treasury. There were the Frog and Toad I Can Read books. There were the Frog and Toad, like, I feel like there were a couple collections that were just two of the books. And I don't think we actually owned all of them growing up. We actually listened to the books on tape a lot, and then we also would get them from the library frequently. But I think we definitely owned Frog and Toad, Our Friends, but I don't know if we owned all of them.
Yeah, I thought we owned Frog and Toad Together. That's the one with the cookies story.
Yeah,
that's
definitely
the
had that
story.
One too.
That's the story that I remember most from childhood. How about you?
Yeah, that one I really remember for sure. I think that that's probably the one that I remember the most. But as I was reading it this time, I feel like it was just kind of like all of them, like kind of all blend together a little bit. But yeah, I do think that the cookies, because it's one of those pictures of cartoon pictures of food that like just looked so good. I really want to eat those cookies. So I feel like you and I, definitely that sticks in our brain. I do think that the list is also a really memorable one for me as well, which is also in the same book.
Yeah. So I think part of the reason why it feels like there's more than four books is because each book has five stories in it. So there's 20 stories about Frog and Toad. Just to be clear, they actually are all readers. So they're all the I Can Read books. They're not all.
So I don't really understand. Do you, as a librarian, have any background on this? Like the I Can Read series, like were these books published as I Can Read books, or were they like published and then the I Can Read folks took them and were like, this is an I Can Read book now?
I'm not sure with that, but these are intended to be readers.
Okay.
And so that was actually one of the interesting things when I was looking through information about Arnold Lobel. And I did actually know this a little bit, but it even made it onto his Wikipedia page, was that he was one of the people that sort of reinvented what easy reader books can be.
Because a lot more kind of plot than like Dick and Jane are friends.
Exactly. Like they don't have to, even though they need to have simple sentence structure and like fairly easy vocabulary, they don't need to be like plotless. And so he did a really good job of making these books very reader friendly for beginner readers, and then also really funny and cute and good messages.
Yeah, because when you think about like early reader books, I wonder if he took the Frog and Toad Are Friends title, if that was a nod to Dick and Jane Are Friends.
Is that a name of one of their books?
Isn't that the classic Dick and Jane book?
I think it was like Dick and Jane and Friends.
You're right. It's Dick and Jane and Friends. I think that that's, I always kind of get confused about what I can read books are versus what the like early reader books are, because I mean, I think that most I can read books have a lot more plot to them.
Yeah, I think it's just one of the series from readers. But yeah.
Okay.
All right.
That's not really what we're here to talk about.
Yeah. Okay. So like I said, there are four books, and we did read all of them. Frog and Toad Are Friends, Frog and Toad Together, Frog and Toad All Year, and Days with Frog and Toad. And each of them has five stories within them. And they were – I feel like I could do like a ranking at this point of like the stories, because I like almost all of them, but there's a couple that I don't really like. That are lower on my list.
Yeah, I think honestly one of my very favorites is The Hat, and that's the one that I really remembered. The Hat is where Toad it's his birthday, and Frog gives him a hat for his birthday, and it's way too big for him, but he's like, well, I have to wear it because my friend Frog gave it to me. And then Frog tricks him into sleeping, and while he's sleeping he tells him to like think big thoughts so that his head will become big enough for his hat. But then Frog takes the hat and shrinks it in water. So when he wakes up, it fits him. That one really like cracked me up this time.
Yeah, and there's a lot of really funny ones. I will say probably my least favorite one is the one about Toad's dream.
Yeah, that one's weird.
And also sort of the one about where Frog tells about
the old like dark the
scary,
frog.
Yeah, the scary story from when he was
That one was a polywog, you mean?
Yeah.
That one was probably too scary for you. You don't want to talk about that one because it was too scary.
Yeah, even this time when I was reading it, I was just shaking in my boots.
That one, like the actual story that Frog's telling is kind of silly and not like in a great way. But then I do like the narration from Toad in the background where he's like, this isn't a real story constantly. And then at the end, they're like, it's very sweet because this like the two of them have the shivers and they sat there like in front of the fire, like thinking about how they were so scared from this dumb story that Frog told.
I don't know. There's a mix, but I would say I like almost all of them. In every single one of them, they're very, very funny, and they're very just like sweet, you would say.
Well, there's also really good characterization. Frog and Toad each are pretty distinct personalities, and the whole premise, in case you've never read these books, that it's in the title, Frog and Toad Are Friends. They're best friends. They do everything together. They each have their own house. So
kind of codependent.
Codependent, but also like they don't live together, which I do think is a key, because I think a lot of people today, like our generation, love to say that this is a like queer coded relationship, and it might be, that's fine, but I don't think it's to the same degree as Bert and Ernie because they're not living together. To me, I'm fine with people having their whole headcanon of Frog and Toad being gay, but for me, I do think that Frog and Toad, the biggest thing is that they have a really solid friendship. And I think what I love about Frog and Toad is that their friendship is the key part of this book. There's no romance, and that's part of why for me it represented part of, you know, something's really strong for my life, is that friendship is like one, you know, the most important relationship for in many ways.
Yeah. I agree. We can get to a little bit more of like analyzing their relationship when we talk about Arnold Lobel a little bit more later in the show. But yeah, to me, I never read it as anything more than friends, but that is probably just, you know, my perspective. So like you said, everybody can have their own interpretation.
Sure. But yeah, Frog and Toad, they're best friends. And like I was saying, like they do have very distinct personalities. Frog is a lot more level-headed, although he can be a little neurotic at times too, just kind of in a different way than Toad. I want to say, like, maybe it's just because I'm currently rewatching Seinfeld, but I do feel like Frog and Toad are very George and Jerry, like when it comes to their personalities. And I know you haven't really watched Seinfeld much, but I kind of feel like, I mean, Frog and Toad came first, so maybe, I don't know, maybe Jerry and George might be Frog and Toad coded. I don't know. But really, it's like
you're onto something.
Yeah. Because like Toad is the George. He's like extremely like anxious about everything, like everything. Well,
he's pretty like negative about things. He's kind of a pessimist. Yes. His favorite expression is blah.
Yeah, he always goes blah, I don't want to do that, like, or like blah, I will stay in bed today. But then like anytime Frog does something, like Toad is like, well, why would he do that when I'm his best friend, like I'm supposed to be the one that's there for him, like, or whatever. Like there's one story alone where Frog like writes Toad a note saying, I want to be alone today, and Toad is so stressed out by that, he's like, Frog doesn't want to be my friend anymore. Then he like goes and gets like sandwiches and iced tea because he wants to like prove to Frog that he deserves to be friends. But yeah, it might just be because I'm currently watching Seinfeld, but it just really reminds me of the dynamic between George and Jerry. I do think Frog is also, maybe it's just like the height difference, like Frog's a lot taller than Toad, and then Frog is just a lot more like,
he looks more fit too.
Yeah, he does. He looks like he would be a lot more like fit in, like in any social group.
I think Frog's a lot more well adjusted.
Yeah, exactly.
Toad, but like it's just so sweet how they're such good friends. Even though Toad Frog has some of his own issues, but Toad has a lot more issues.
Right. Toad is just like very anxious and very neurotic and negative, like you said. I do think that Frog, like, it's important to say, like, it's not, we have that like different personalities, but they're both very much like dedicated to each other. Like Frog loves Toad very much and Toad loves Frog very much too. Like it's not just a Toad following Frog around wanting to be best friends. Like
no, it's very even.
Frog actually puts maybe even more effort into the friendship than Toad.
Oh yeah.
Does.
Frog spends all of his effort trying to like help Toad out.
Right.
Which is very sweet. I felt like when I was reading it that Toad had like some depression and that Frog is definitely like trying to like help him out with that.
Totally. I really definitely think that there's a lot of like, cause yeah, I think that there's, we could just say like he's an anxious person, but I do think depression is, it's very depression coded. I keep saying coded. There's a lot of times where Toad's just like very, has a lot of symptoms of depression, I would say.
Well, yeah, like how he doesn't want to get out of bed and he doesn't want to, like, there's a lot of things he doesn't want to do.
Right.
And he's pretty negative, like I said, like about his perspective on the world at times.
Right. And then he also, yeah, like everything is kind of like catastrophized. Like I said, when Frog wants to be alone, he's like, that means he doesn't want to be my friend anymore. Yeah. When really it turns out that Frog wanted to be alone because he wanted to reflect on how good his life is and how much he loves being friends with Toad.
Yeah, Frog's a little bit like too well adjusted at times.
Frog is like a little bit corny with the way he sees things, which is sweet, I guess. But I guess I'm probably a little bit more of a Toad. So that's probably why I'm saying that about Frog.
There was times in each of these where I could certainly see either you or me as Toad.
Yeah.
And it depended on the story because like certain ones, it really sounded like you and other ones, it really sounded like me. But very relatable characters. And it's interesting because Arnold Lobel at one point said that Frog and Toad were like two, he saw them as like the two aspects of himself.
Yeah.
And well, I don't know. For me, I can see that too because sometimes, I don't know, they are very different animals. Yes. And so they are very different characters. So like they kind of complete one another. And so for one, like it makes sense that that could be one person too.
Yeah, I think so too. I was going to say I was kind of reminded of a really dumb children's series, which is not even really a series, but I feel like Frog and Toad is the elevated Goofus and Gallant, which...
Yeah, very elevated.
Very, very elevated. Much better. I mean, Goofus and Gallant is not even like a book series.
Yeah, it is. Goofus and Gallant, like for those who are not familiar with it, was in Highlights magazine, and it was like a comic strip.
Yeah, it was usually even just like one panel comic strip, right?
I don't remember.
Well,
maybe.
some people thought that Goofus and Gallant, well, they're supposed to be like, they're quoted as brothers. I keep saying quoted today. But really, the twist is that they're actually the same person.
Yeah. Goofus and Gallant is very heavy-handed with the morals.
It's basically like, okay, we're in a store and the shopkeeper is gone and Goofus is like, time to shoplift, and Gallant, yeah. And Gallant is like, I'm going to stop a crime.
Yeah, like I said, very heavy-handed in trying to like teach kids a lesson. Right. Frog and Toad is so much more like just a lot better approach to teaching lessons, because it does have lessons in it. But not in a way that feels like over the top.
No, not at all. And like when I say it felt like I was reminded of them in a way, I really just mean like I did feel like there were times where it was like Frog is the one doing the right thing. Toad is the one who you're supposed to take, like be like, that's not how we should be. But it's not written in a way that you're like, oh, Toad is stupid. You're like, oh, Toad is maybe like caving to temptation more than he should or something. Like, yeah, I think that what I love about Frog is that he kind of like tricks Toad a lot. The very first story, Spring, which I don't know if the order that we read them is the order that the Treasury has them.
I think that's the order they were released in.
Okay, so the first story, Spring, is when Frog is waking Toad up from hibernation, and which is kind of interesting because then later on Toad is in the winter, and like that's just in this early book that Toad hibernates. But Frog tricks Toad into thinking that it's May, because when Frog wakes up, when Toad wakes up, he's like, it's too early to get up. I must wait until May. And then Frog goes to his calendar, like lets Toad fall back asleep, and then like rips all the pages off the calendar. And he's like, look, it's May.
And then Toad's like, I guess it is May.
I guess I'd better get up. So there's a couple different times where Frog tricks Toad and stuff like that. But it's always very like sweet the way that he does that.
Yeah.
Because he just really wants Frog to be, or he wants Toad to wake up so that they can hang out.
Yeah, he's bored. I think let's just go through and say a couple of our favorites in each book. My other two favorites in that book are The Lost Button and A Swim. In A Lost Button, Toad loses a button. And I think my favorite part of that one is that he starts to get so mad that he can't find his button. They go out there
This is where I first started thinking of George, I think, because he's like, that's not my button. Every time he finds a different button, he's like, that button has four holes and my button had two, or that kind of thing.
Yeah, it's like there's like a thin button. And my favorite is the part where he gets the thin button. At this point, there's been all these other buttons that have already come across his path. But he's like, he held the thin button. He was very angry.
It's like, chill.
That's where Toad is a little bit like me.
And a little bit like George Costanza.
Yeah. But that one was just a funny characterization of Toad. Frog being very helpful. Then
and patient. The way that
one resolves is that Toad gets back to his house and he finds his missing button on his own floor. And then he feels really guilty for having wasted so much of Frog's time. So then he sews all of the new buttons onto a coat and gives it to Toad.
Yeah, or gives it to Frog, right?
Oh, gives it to Frog, yeah.
Okay, so I know I promise this will be hopefully the last time I say anything about Seinfeld, but like that literally could be a Seinfeld episode. George losing a button, finding a bunch of other buttons, and then coming back and then realizing it was just on the floor of his house.
No, I'm sorry that I've missed so much Seinfeld.
Okay. I said that's going to be the last time, hopefully. But yeah, I agree. My other favorite in this book, like you said, was a swim. This one is where Frog and Toad are going swimming. And they're obviously a frog and a toad. So the expectation normally would be that they don't need to wear clothes. They do wear clothes outside. So I can see why then the jump for Toad would be he has to wear a bathing suit. But Frog doesn't wear his bathing suit. But Toad is like, I have to wear a bathing suit, but don't look at me. I look very funny in my bathing suit. And I have to say, he's right. He does look pretty funny in his bathing suit.
Well, it's so cute too, because he's like, do not look at me while I get into the water. So then Frog like looks away. He doesn't look.
Yeah.
And then Toad gets into the water. They have a grand old time. But then there's a bunch of other animals that start coming around. And like it starts with like a turtle. And Toad's like, Frog, tell that turtle to go away so I can get out of the water. I do not want him to see me in my bathing suit.
Yeah. And then Frog. I don't know if he does this on purpose, but he kind of accidentally draws a frown because he tells Turtle, he's like, get out because, or move away because Toad doesn't want you to see him in his bathing suit. He says he looks funny. And then the turtle's like, well, I want to see him. And then the lizards hear it. And then the snake hears it. And then a mouse hears it. And two dragonflies hear it. And so Frog is like, Frog kind of did this because he's the one who announced that Toad was anxious about how he looked in his bathing suit.
And they're all like, some of them are like, I haven't seen, the field mouse, I think, says, I haven't seen something funny in a long time. Yeah. I'd really like to see that.
Right. And then Frog's like, I'm sorry, Toad. Everyone wants to see how you look. But then Toad decides he's going to stay in the water, but then he can't because he starts to get really cold. And he's like, I have to get out of the water. So then he finally gets out. And then everybody's like, yeah, you do look hilarious. Even Frog says that.
Frog's like, I'm laughing at you, Toad. You look hilarious.
Yeah, and then Toad's like, of course I do. And then he picked up his clothes and went home.
So that one was really funny. In Frog and Toad Together, the next book, what were your favorites? I know we talked about Cookies already, and I think you said A List.
Yeah, those are definitely my two favorites in this book. So A List is a pretty cute one because Toad makes a list of all the things he's going to do today. And one of them is, first of all, my favorite part probably is when he's like, writes the first thing on the list, wake up. But then he's like, I have done that already. And then he crosses it off.
Me when I make a list.
Yeah, exactly. So then he goes to Frog's house and like he's like, look at the list of things we're going to do today. But then the list blows away. And Toad's like, well, I can't do any of those. He's like, I can't look for the list because that wasn't on my list.
He gets very stuck with his list.
Yes. And then, yeah, at the end of the day, he's like, well, I remember a go to sleep was on my list. So then he's like, I can do that at least.
Yeah. Yeah, because Frog's like, okay, well, it's time we go to sleep. And then Toad's like, go to sleep. That was on my list. Yeah.
Perfect. Yeah.
The garden is a good one, too. This one is kind of this is one where I could really relate to Toad.
Yeah.
Just Toad plants some seeds that Frog gives him. He wants to make a garden. And then he's very impatient for his seeds to start growing. And he's shouting at the seeds and he's like just watching them constantly. And obviously nothing's happening right before his eyes. So he's feeling like they're just never going to grow. And he's so impatient. It's funny. Frog encourages him to like step away for a minute. And then the garden does eventually grow.
Yeah, that is definitely relatable to me as somebody who's never been much of a gardener. I'm always very impatient.
Yes, me too.
I think Toad is somebody who needs immediate gratification.
Yes. And then Cookies is the most relatable story out of all of them, in my opinion.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Also, like I said, those cookies look amazing.
Basically, Frog bakes. Does Frog bake the cookies? No, Toad bakes the cookies.
Toad is the baker. Yeah.
Yeah. Toad bakes an amazing batch of cookies. He brings it over to Frog's house, and they just eat cookies for days.
Right. They just keep eating and keep eating, and then they like put they're like, let's eat just one last cookie, and then they're like, okay, let's have more. and then they. I guess this is I feel like this is how I learned what willpower was, like the word willpower, because that's not something that like I feel like that's kind of a vocabulary word in this book. They put the cookies in a box. They're like, well, we're not going to eat them now. And then Toad's like, well, we could open the box. So then they tie some string around the box and they're like, well, we could cut the string. then they put it up on a high shelf and they're like, well, we could climb a ladder. And then they decide like to give all the cookies to the birds, which I'm like...
It seems like a waste.
Yeah, it does seem like a waste. But then Frog's like, well, at least we have lots of willpower now. And then Frog's like, you can keep it. I'm going to go bake a cake.
Toad says that, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty cute. And very relatable. And the cookies always looked amazing, like
yes,
you said.
Yes, they really did.
Yeah. All right. So then Frog and Toad all year. Did you have a favorite in this
yeah,
one?
Yeah, I love the surprise. Well, actually, I feel like maybe this might have been my favorite that I read this time. I don't know. I loved all of them. I feel like that, like, Ice Cream was really hilarious. But the surprise is my favorite because they each decide that they're going to go rake each other's leaves. And they're like, won't Frog be surprised? And Toad's like, or Frog's like, won't Toad be surprised? So they both, like, sneak out to each other's houses and, like, go opposite directions, like, around different ways.
Yeah, don't run into each other.
So that they won't see each other, yeah. And then they each rake each other's leaves, and then on their way home, it starts to be, like, windy, so that their piles of leaves, like, get blown away or, like, get blown back onto the lawn. So they get home, they're like, oh, okay, well, I guess I'll have to rake my own leaves tomorrow, but won't Toad be surprised? Or, like,
won't
they Frog
be pleased?
Right. So that always, it's very sad, actually.
No, but... it's cute. It's, like, so sweet. Like, they each did this grand gesture for the other, and they both, I think it's kind of showing how, like, helping others can really, like, do something good for your own mental state as well.
Yeah.
Even
but
though,
it is sad though, like the fact
all the
that
work
they
put in,
right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny. It's pretty clever. I also really enjoyed the sledding one, which is called Down the Hill. Mostly loved it because Toad did not want to go out into the winter.
Toad did not want to put his winter clothes on.
And Frog forced him to wear winter clothes, and then Frog's like, or Toad's like, help, my best friend is trying to kill me.
Yeah, that was very funny. And then Toad gets tricked again by Frog because Frog's like, it's time to sled. And so he gets on the sled, like, on the back with him, but then, like, jumps off while Toad is sledding. And Toad doesn't realize that. And so he, like, yells up at a bird or a crow. He's like, hey, crow, look at how good we're sledding. And then the crow's like, what do you mean we? It's just you. And then Toad says, I am all alone, screamed Toad. and then like, once he realizes that, the sled hits a tree and a rock, and then he ends up in a snowbank.
It's kind of like, I feel like that was symbolic of something too. Like, I mean, obviously there's a lot of symbolism in these books, but I think I felt like that one was definitely like, I don't know. It was interesting to see some of the, like, abandonment issues that surface.
Right. Yeah. And then Frog, like, when Toad, like, is in the snowbank, Frog's like, you did very well by yourself. And Toad's like, no, I didn't.
He's like, I'm going home.
Yeah. There is one thing that I can do all by myself. I can go home.
Oh, so cute.
And yeah, we do need to talk about the illustrations because, like, there's so much personality just in their facial expressions in these pictures. Like, for instance, in the picture of the bathing costume, or sorry, the bathing suit, like, Frog looks so, or Toad looks so, like, yes, I told you I was going to look funny. And then in this picture of him, like, he's going home and he looks very pleased with himself about, like, that's right, that's the one thing I can do by myself. I can go home and be in my bed.
So cute. Yeah, no, Arnold Lobel is a very talented illustrator. When we get to the author part, we'll talk a little bit more about that. But yeah, I would agree. I think the illustrations are a big part of this.
Yes.
Okay, last book, The Days with Frog and Toad. Tomorrow is probably my favorite of these, even though I do like The Hat as well, which you already talked about.
Right. Tomorrow is so relatable. Toad has like a really messy house and he's like, oh my gosh, this house is a mess. I need to clean it, but I'm going to wait until tomorrow.
He's like, today I will take life easy.
Yeah, today I will take life easy, which I do think is a really funny expression because like take it easy is normally the phrase, but take life easy is how Frog, how Toad says it. Frog comes over and he's like, wow, it really is a mess. And Toad starts to like get sad and he's like, I'm feeling down in the dumps because I have so much to do tomorrow.
He's like, I'm thinking about how horrible tomorrow is going to be. Yeah, and then Frog's like, yes, tomorrow will be a very hard day for you indeed.
Yeah, and then Toad's like, well, Toad has the brilliant idea. He's like, hey, Frog, if I did the dishes now, then I wouldn't have to do them tomorrow, would I? Well, sorry, Toad, but you'll have dishes
are going to be every day.
Dishes will be every day, Toad. But he's like, but if I dust today, I won't have to do it tomorrow. And if I scrub my windows today, I won't have to do it tomorrow. And then he like ends up doing everything today. And then he's like, well, tomorrow I can just take life easy.
It's a good lesson. I will say I have not quite learned it yet.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
I mean, I have learned it. I have not learned how to always execute it.
Exactly.
Yeah. But I love the whole, like, him thinking about how he doesn't want to do anything today. And so, but then he's like, I'm getting depressed thinking about how terrible tomorrow
like,
is going to be.
I feel down in the dumps.
Yeah, so cute. You already talked about The Hat. Alone, we already kind of talked about too. That's the one where Frog wants to be alone for the day. Toad is like so worried, like, what did I do? Frog doesn't want to be my friend anymore. Then he gets out there and then Frog's like, I wanted to be alone to think about how wonderful my life is.
Right.
And how lucky I am to have a friend like you. I think that was a good lesson as far as learning that not everything is about you.
Right, exactly.
Like when somebody has a reaction, it's not always because you did something. It's oftentimes for something totally different. That's a lesson a lot of adults still need to learn.
Definitely.
Yeah. All right. Well, we will be back in just a minute. We're going to start talking about the author, childhood memories, and all of our other segments. So we'll be back in just a minute. Okay. So a little bit of information about Arnold Lobel. I will say, like you mentioned earlier, Martha, we both always really enjoyed listening to his audiobooks. And Arnold Lobel recorded his audiobooks himself, like he was the narrator. And also they had like a little orchestra as part of it, which is really very cute and like added a lot to it. So when I went back and listened to these books, I really enjoyed hearing Arnold Lobel as the narrator. He was very talented.
Yes. Alice and I loved listening to these books on tape. We didn't call them audiobooks back then.
Yeah, well, I'm using today's terms.
Yeah, literally on tape, though. And the other one, which you have on our notes here of what we'll mention, is Mouse Tales. We had that one as a book on tape as well, and both of us have memories of listening to that as we went to bed.
Yeah. Used to listen to that all the time. It was so cute.
Yeah. Well, and the little orchestra really made it a very fun, like, listen. Like, it was more like listening to almost like the audio of a movie.
I know. I was actually thinking, like, as I was re-listening to Frog and Toad, I was thinking, you know, it's too bad that we don't do many audiobooks like this anymore. I think we've gotten so locked into reading the audiobook just as presented in the text. And I feel like sometimes having it be a different experience than the books is not always a bad thing.
Yeah, well, I think that you and I had, obviously, we've said this before, some strange childhood quirks that we did when we were kids. One of those things was that one of my, I don't know if you did this as much too.
And I know what you're about to say. No, I did not.
Okay, well, one of my favorite forms of entertainment, like as an option of what I could do with an afternoon, especially when I was homesick, was we had a record of The Jungle Book, and it was the entire recording.
I thought you were going to say Peter and the Wolf.
Oh, no. I didn't love Peter and the Wolf as much. But Peter and Wolf, yes, related sort of similar type of audio entertainment. But yeah, I had a record of The Jungle Book, the entire movie, just on record. And so it was like listening, like watching the movie, but without the visual. And would just
kind of, I think probably people who are a lot older than us would relate to this, because this was, I'm sure this was a thing like before everybody had a TV and before, you know, or before they had, everybody had movies, like records probably were cheaper and more people had record players. So this would be a way to like catch the movie without having to have a TV.
Right, exactly. So I've only seen The Jungle Book.
So yes,
Book,
even though we grew up in the 90s, we listened to movies on record.
I was doing this in like 2001, like 2001, 2002. This was like my favorite. Like I probably listened to The Jungle Book like 50 times at least as a kid, and I've probably only seen the movie twice or three times like today. So anyway, that just kind of reminds me, like, and I loved it. Like, it was just so fun because, like, it had the music in it and it had the, like, voices. And, yeah, I do like, I think that, like, an audio medium of, like, if it's a book on tape, like, it doesn't have to be exactly the way it is in the book.
Right. And I think, like, I don't know. I feel like the audio, I think that how much audio we listened to as kids helped us a lot with our, like, with our like listening comprehension.
Yeah.
Like I think that there's an aspect of that missing today. Like that kids don't get enough exposure to just like having to listen and not having anything visual to think about or to look at as well.
Yes.
Not that it's bad. It's interesting with these Arnold Lobel ones, because when he starts the book, he always says like, I'll read out loud. You follow along in your copy of the book. Of course, I never really did that. But then he would say, we'll start on page 4. Next to the picture of Frog doing whatever. So it was so cute to hear him read that. It just brought so much personality to him, like thinking about him reading out these books to kids. On the Wikipedia page, it did say like Arnold Lobel loved his job. And he said he couldn't imagine something more fun than creating stories for children. Which I think is very precious.
That's very sweet.
He obviously very talented. He's one of a very few number of authors who's received both Newbery and Caldecott Awards, because he is an author and illustrator. So that's rare to get to be to the caliber where you can win awards for both of those.
Right.
But surprisingly, like he doesn't have as many well-known books as like I thought he would. He is most famous for Frog and Toad, and then he has a book called Fables, which won the Newbery, I believe. And then Mouse Soup and Mouse Tales were kind of a duology kind of thing.
Yeah, so, Fables, those are his is one that read. Fables won the Caldecott, it looks like.
Oh, Caldecott, okay. Yeah. So
and they were – I do remember reading Fables. They were like kind of – adaptations of Aesop, but like they weren't really, none of them were actually Aesop's fables. They were like Arnold Lobel's fables, but they were all a lot simpler stories, kind of like Aesop fables,
which you can see how he'd be good at that, because like Frog and Toad are sort of all fables. Like there's there's a moral to each of the stories, but again, something that I've said, like, not to use this word so often, but he has a very good way of making fables that are not heavy-handed.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is a very difficult line to walk, because I think fables in general are really prone to that.
Yeah, totally. Well, they're just so simplistic usually. And I do remember reading Fables. I'm looking at the Wikipedia page for that one. The one that stands out that I remember is The Pelican and the Crane. And then I'm looking at it has all the titles. I don't remember all of these super well, but I do remember reading the book. Not as often as we read Mouse Tales and Frog and Toad.
Yeah. He also illustrated close to 100 books, which I thought was impressive. He really was like started as an illustrator, and it said that like he was originally not confident with his ability to write stories. Like he felt like he wasn't a talented author, which is crazy to me, because Frog and Toad are so like, I feel like it takes so much talent to write a story like that.
Totally, yes.
And so he never wrote anything for adults or older children, because he felt like he didn't have enough talent to do that.
Yeah, that's interesting. Well, I feel like that's kind of the Toad side of his personality, like doubting yeah. himself.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think he's like, honestly, like his illustrations are great, like I said, but the stories themselves really together, they just make such a great final product.
Mm-hmm, totally. He had two kids and he was married to a woman for a while, but then he did come out to his family as gay in 1974. So his daughter, after that, like after he died, she kind of publicly said that Frog and Toad could also have been something about him coming to terms with his identity. But he himself never really said that. That was his daughter saying that.
His daughter, Adrienne, said there's another dimension of the series' sustained popularity. Frog and Toad are of the same sex and they love each other. And that the series really was the beginning of her father coming out. So, I mean, it's not just a stretch at all to say that it is maybe queer-coded, but I do think that that's something that's not ever, like, his. Like, I think that there's room to, like,
you can see it in a couple different lights.
Right, exactly.
And, so, I mean, I'm not saying she's inaccurate because she obviously knows her dad really well.
Right.
So she has that's her interpretation of – I feel like sometimes it'd be easier from somebody who's close to a person to see that more than the person themselves recognizing that.
Right, exactly. And to me, I mean, like I said, I don't mean to say that I don't like the idea of that being something that helped him come out, or that maybe they are a gay relationship, but to me, like, the friendship theme, like, I really like there being just a friendship for a lot of, because I do feel like a lot of times any relationship where it's just two people, like, as for like kids stories or movies or whatever, like there's always got to be some sort of will they won't they, and that kind of always kind of bothers me because I think the friendship is so important too.
Yeah. So unfortunately Arnold Lobel is no longer with us. He died in 1987. He had a heart attack, but this was after having had AIDS, so unfortunately that's a sad way that he had to go.
Yeah, very sad. But I wanted to mention, I don't have it, see it in your notes here, so I wanted to make sure we mentioned it, that Frog and Toad, there's going to be a Apple TV Plus series that's going to be premiering in a month from now.
I'm kind of skeptical. These books like this, I feel like, are very difficult to really capture. Is it going to be kind of like a Max and Ruby type thing, or is it going to be?
I think so. It says it's an animated series. It has a pretty, like, a lot of the people in the cast are people that, like, I really like Yvette and Nicole Brown and Fortune Famester and Aparna Charla. So, like, pretty funny.
It has
people.
Potential. There's
I think it's probably more of a kids show, but then, yeah, I was also going to say there is a Broadway musical too, Year with Frog and Toad.
Which I've heard great things about. It's hard for me to picture what it would be like. I've not seen it. It actually was recently here in Billings at our local community theater.
Yeah, I was about to say, I know somebody who was in that production. So
yeah, so I had seen that it was here, but I didn't go to it because I figured it would be like probably matinees of like all kids. But I don't know if it's – I think it is intended for a general audience, not just children.
Yeah, I think so.
But sounds – like, it's hard for me to picture it as a play, but I've heard good things about it.
Yeah, I have too.
All right. Childhood memories we kind of talked about already, but do you have anything else? I mean, the cookies thing is the biggest one that sticks with me. A lot of my memories, it's hard for me to separate out now because there is just – this is important we mention this. On Twitter, there's a Frog and Toad bot that – every day spits out a few lines from Frog and Toad, and that has triggered so many memories for me. I feel like now it's all kind of interconnected. I'm like, well, do I actually remember that, or did I read it on the Frog and Toad bot?
Right. I know. It's hard to keep that straight now. There's some of these stories that aren't ever on the Frog and Toad bot, so I was like glad that I wasn't just like – I don't know. It was kind of nice to have some stuff that I don't see every day. The Frog and Toad bot, I feel like, draws from only like 5 or 6 of these stories. Yeah, I'm trying to think. Like, I don't think that the two of us like ever really read it together, did we?
I don't think so either. I do feel like our parents or our dad thought that it was funny, and he would read it to us sometimes.
Yes, I remember that too.
But they are because they're readers, they're pretty simple. They're not necessarily like readers are not necessarily meant as like a read aloud. It's more meant for the kid to be able to read on their own. But I think I didn't always see it that like I didn't really understand the distinction when I was a kid.
No, I didn't either.
In Frog and Toad, it definitely can like we said, it kind of redefines what a reader is.
Yeah, totally.
So, but yeah, amazing book. So, Martha, do you have a Quora question of the week for us?
Okay, well, I do have a really good one. This one is not exactly related to our stories, but it is just related to our title. Can a frog and toad mate?
Okay, so, that is related to some of the questions that we've been asking on this show.
Yeah, it is. So Trine Browers, who's a former living creature. I don't know what that means.
Okay, she's communicating to us from the beyond.
Yeah, I guess so. This is possible, and I'm sure it happens from time to time because a frog doesn't have a way to tell the difference. It's a difference. It's unkind. I don't know what that means. And a toad that looks almost exactly like it. But it's very unlikely you will get anything like a frog-toad hybrid out of it. One of two conclusions will happen. Nothing will happen, and that frog and toad would just have had a good blank. Doesn't say that. If one manages to lay eggs, those eggs will die and never hatch. If by some miracle they do hatch, they will be deformed tadpoles that probably won't survive.
Well, that's not very nice.
No.
I guess somebody... frog and toad, as both being male, are not going to be mating, so to speak.
Right.
I guess we don't have to worry about the tadpoles dying from them.
Right. And then we do have another answer that you have to have a Quora Plus subscription to get the full answer.
Oh, shoot.
This is from a former visiting professor of biology at Governor State University.
That sounds like somebody who I'd actually want to hear the information
from. I don't know. He was doing that for one school year and is a visiting professor.
Okay, so not even tenure track or anything.
Right. This is Eric Peters. So he said, frogs and toads are different species. Almost all frogs mate in response to species-specific calls by the males, so the wrong call would be ignored.
Yeah, so whatever that other person was saying, the dead person was saying, that she, I was like, they don't have a way to differentiate. That doesn't seem right to me. Like,
yeah, so
animals don't just go based on looks the way, like,
okay,
like
well,
I think they know who's their same species.
Just wait. The males that call the loudest and most persistently attract females to them. The male then clasps the female around the waist and does not let go until she, and then it's, must subscribe to Quora Plus.
Oh my gosh, such a cliffhanger.
Access this answer and support the author as a Quora Plus subscriber. Start free trial.
Frogs sound kind of brutal.
Right, they clasp the female by the waist and don't let go until she...
Okay.
Know what it says.
Well, anyway, interesting. I actually kind of do want to know if a frog-toad hybrid can exist.
Well, more than likely they'll die.
Yeah, according to the former living being.
Former living creature.
All right. Okay, so that's our Quora question of the week. Now it's time for our shorting hat. And this is going to be a very short hat. We only have two characters to talk about.
I hope it fits. Yeah. I hope it fits.
There are a couple of other characters in Frog and Toad, but they really had almost no characterization, like the snake and the turtle and... I don't think we can really sort them.
No, I don't think so.
All right.
Field mouse.
Yeah. What would you say for Frog? Let's start with Frog.
I kind of think they're both Ravenclaws, honestly. I'm sorry, but to jump ahead to Toad too. But I feel like they're kind of different sides of Ravenclaw because Frog is very calculated, I feel. Or not calculated, but uses his head on a lot of things. Like, he really understands situations and figures out the right solution.
He has a lot of emotional intelligence.
Yeah, exactly. And then Toad is also very neurotic, or he's very, I guess, in his head a lot. So I kind of think that they're two different sides of Ravenclaw.
And that would make sense if, again, we're going back to the theory that there are two different aspects of Arnold Lobel.
Right.
If he seems like a Ravenclaw, being a talented author and illustrator, like just that. I mean, again, I don't know him personally. I feel like I do. But It seems like he would be a Ravenclaw, so then it makes sense that his characters that are parts of his own personality would be his Ravenclaw parts.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, so I would agree. I guess not a lot more to talk about there with that shorting hat. That was very short.
No, but I did think of a Harry Potter parallel.
Oh, good.
The hat, it's so big that it goes down over Toad's face, just like the sorting hat.
And he was probably a hat stall.
Yeah, well, and while that hat was on his head, I wonder if it spoke to him.
Probably it whispered in his ear, you could be great, you know.
You could be great, you know. tricky, whatever you say.
Yeah, that's a good parallel. I think Frog and Toad could be a Harry Ron comparison, right?
I was trying to think. I don't really see it.
Maybe it's a Sirius and James comparison.
Yeah, maybe more like a Dean and Seamus. I don't know.
I think it's a Michael Corner and Anthony Goldstein.
No, that's both a trio. Ravenclaw. That's a trio because they have Terry Boot too. Right. The thing is, like a lot of friendships in Harry Potter, it's just not just two. So that's why I was saying it could be Dean
Fred
and
George,
or Parvati and Lavender. No, Fred and George have Lee.
Yeah, Lee's kind of the third wheel.
Parvati and Lavender.
Yes, exactly like them. the cookies one reminded me of all of the amazing food they get to eat in Hogwarts.
It reminded me of Hagrid's rock cakes.
They do. They kind of, that's always kind of how I pictured the rock cakes to look.
Yeah, agreed. But they don't taste like that.
I don't know what else would be a good one. If the dream, that seems like a dream Harry would have, to be honest.
It kind of does. Yeah, so the dream we didn't really talk about. We said neither of us like it very much. Yeah, Toad has this dream that he's like performing on stage, like he's doing a bunch of different acts, like he has to dance and play the piano, and as he's up on the stage, Frog is like in the audience and he keeps looking at him, and Frog keeps getting smaller and smaller, and he's like getting all stressed out because he's like, what is happening to my friend Frog?
I think,
and then he finally wakes up and Frog's right there and he's like, oh, thank goodness you're the normal size now.
I think that one was kind of a showing the dangers of fame, and how it's really more important to have good friends.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, it seems like something Harry would dream. He always dreams weird stuff like that too.
Yeah, true. True.
All right. So I think that's probably about
lots
it for the
lots of Harry Potter parallels. There is a story where the one right before that, Dragons and Giants, they're like reading a storybook that has like scary people or scary creatures in it. And they're like, we must be brave. So it's kind of like the Forbidden Forest.
Yeah. And there's dragons and there's giants. So that's a Harry Potter parallel.
It's not actually dragons and giants. That's just in the story. There's a big, there's a big snake who says, hello, lunch.
So funny.
Yeah, and then there's like a big rock.
The big snake is like in the basilisk.
True. There's a big hawk that's kind of like a hippogriff.
Yeah, there's like Bucky.
Right.
When Toad is sleeping in his bed, it's kind of like when Harry's sleeping in his four-poster bed.
Yeah, exactly. I was thinking that too.
All right. Well, I think that's probably it for the Harry Potter parallels, but there was a lot, so.
Yeah, that was pretty much the same.
Okay, let's go ahead and go through and rate this book. So our first question is, how well does it hold up? 5.
5, definitely.
There's no – I mean, it was all very – like, the stories were timeless.
They're just very wholesome, sweet stories. There's nothing in it that is, like – there's nothing about, like, gender norms or, like, anything that could be questionable over time, you know?
Right, exactly. How much does it capture what kids want to read about? Now, this one's interesting because the actual activities that Frog and Toad do are very everyday. But I think it's the tone and the humor and the amazing characterization that makes it very appealing to kids.
I think it's a 5. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, I agree. How much did it contribute to our inside jokes and relationship? Now, unfortunately, this one's a little lower for us.
Yeah, probably 3.
Okay. And then, although now, currently, it has contributed a lot because we send each other stuff from the Frog and Toad bot frequently.
True.
All right. And then last one, how unevil is the author? He seems pretty great. So 5.
5, yeah.
So, all right, this one got an 18 out of 20, pretty good. The only downfall was our own fault.
Yeah, well, I think it's because it, like, picture books are more, are less likely to have been something we joked about because of the age difference. Like, we just both, like, they had a big impact, these books had a big impact on each of us, but not really, like, together because, yeah, like, we were more likely to read chapter books, like, together.
Right, true. All right, well, that brings us to the end of our show. For all you website heads out there, please visit our website, realweirdsisters.com. We'd love it if you would follow us on all of our social media. We're at facebook.com/realweirdsisters, Twitter @realweirdsister, Instagram @realweirdsisterspod. And then, of course, the best way to support the show is to pledge to support us on Patreon. Patreon.com/realweirdsisters. You can go there and see how to contribute to the show. For as little as $5 a month, you can get access to our monthly patron cast show, which will be coming out later this week. And then also you can get access to our social media, get a postcard from us, all sorts of fun stuff. We would also love it if you would make sure you are subscribed to us in whichever podcatcher you use so that you don't miss any shows. We'd love it if you would give us a rating and review to a 5-star rating. And a wonderful review to go with it. We love to read those from time to time whenever we...
If it ain't 5 stars, keep it.
Exactly. 5 stars only, please.
Exactly.
So we'd love to read your review on the show if you submit one of those. All right. Well, we are going to be back next week. And fingers crossed, if all goes well, something might be coming
back.
Drum
roll, please. Drum roll, please.
Boom, boom, tsh.
Exactly. That's all we're going to say. But all I'll say is get your rack focus ready.
Yeah, get excited because Martha and I are about to get schooled in some movie facts.
We'll see. Hopefully. I'm still not quite sure if I believe that it's happening, but we're both hoping.
Yes, but we're very excited that we might be able to be back with a show that I'm sure you know what we're talking about at this point. In any case, we will be back next Monday. And until then, we're the Real Weird Sisters.
We're the Weird Sisters. We're the Real Weird Sisters. All you other Weird Sisters are fine, but not the Vickers. Will the Real Weird Sisters please stand up? Please stand up. Please stand up. Please stand up.